take at thetakeaway.org. You may recall this from the campaign. Barack Obama said it at one point in speaking to NBC's Tom Brokaw.
Quick discussion. Is health care in America a privilege, a right, or a responsibility?
Privilege, right, or responsibility. Well, start with that.
I think it should be a right. In a country as wealthy as ours, for us to have people who are going bankrupt because they can't pay their medical bills. For my mother to die of cancer at the age of 53 and have to spend the last months of her life in a hospital room arguing with insurance companies because they're saying that this may be a pre-existing condition and they don't have to pay her treatment, there's something fundamentally wrong about that.
There's also something fundamentally wrong with the statistic reported by the Liberal Center for American Progress that perhaps 14,000 Americans are losing health care insurance every day. Health care, a right in America? What would that look like legislatively? It was talked about certainly in the 90s, and then the government dropped the ball. Clinton's tried it back in 1993, but bipartisanship derailed it, or the lack of bipartisanship derailed it. Is there a consensus emerging as the Obama administration perhaps turns its attention to health care, conceivably as early as next week? Joining us now is Robert Pair, New York Times reporter, who has a piece in today's paper. He's in the Washington Bureau this morning. The piece in today's paper suggests that the outlines of a consensus are emerging on what kind of program the Democrats are going to propose. And Robert Pair, it looks like a pretty comprehensive program. What have you been able to discover?
People are talking to each other steadily, twice a week, and they are beginning to look at some common elements that they could have together, perhaps some kind of individual obligation for everybody to have insurance, some type of financial assistance to help people afford it, subsidies to help people purchase insurance, perhaps expansion of government programs like Medicaid. It's fragile, it's tentative.
Does it add up to universal health care if the trends continue, as you've been able to glean from the sort of buzz conversation down there in Washington?
I think the question is a good one. I mean, it'll take pretty hefty efforts just to keep coverage where it is, to prevent it from eroding, to prevent the number of uninsured from growing in the current economic climate.
Do you buy that number, 14,000 Americans losing health care insurance every day? It's probably mostly because they're losing their jobs, but does that sound like a reasonable number to you?
I honestly don't know. I'm sure that there are thousands who are losing their insurance, and it's pretty closely tied with loss of employment.
I'm wondering if you noticed a change in tone among policymakers down in Washington who are rolling up their sleeves to deal with this, based on what happened on the stimulus package, that the Republicans really either didn't climb on board or were shut out, depending on whose story you believe, that the Democrats are perhaps emboldened to just go it alone on this, and that maybe explains why, even tentatively, this proposal looks a little more radical than we might have expected from the campaign.
I do notice a change in tone. It's more a contrast with what happened 15 years ago. I wouldn't. These talks began before the current fight over the economic stimulus package, and I think that Democrats are pretty well agreed at this moment that they want to have some more Republican involvement. And Republicans are eager. Many Republicans are eager to be involved in this. So I wouldn't say, I think the Democrats realized that it would be extremely difficult to go it alone on health care affecting, one-sixth of the nation's economy.
Sure. Well, if I'm reading your story this morning in the New York Times and I have either problems with my health care or no health care, what do you think I should take away from these talks and this consensus that you say may be tentatively emerging?
I would say somebody could take away a few wisps of hope and a little bit of confidence that something might be coming in the medium to the longer term. I don't think it's anything to bank on in the immediate future.
Well, that's interesting. So the talk is big, but whether the government is able to walk the walk here, what is in place today in the Obama administration that perhaps wasn't in place in the 90s for the Clintons when they attempted to deal with this that might move things forward more rapidly or more comprehensively, in your view?
One of the big differences, I think, is that many businesses of all sizes desperately want something that they call health care reform. They're being crushed by health costs, and they are not going to... I mean, they would very much like to participate. Likewise, the insurance companies have a different approach. You'll remember Harry and Louise.
Sure.
Television advertisements.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 93-94. It's a different group of executives, different group of lobbyists. They're thinking differently now. They still have some similar financial interests, but their approach is different.
Well, let's do...
The number of uninsured has increased and health costs have increased so much that the problem is now seen as even greater than it was.
Yeah, well, certainly the urgency has grown, as was predicted back in the 90s by virtually everyone in this field. Well, let's do the numbers on, you know, it's a little bit like the beginning of a football game. There's lobbyists for the businesses that have workers who are covered by health care. There's lobbyists for the insurance companies. There are lobbyists for consumers. And they're all kind of on the field marching towards each other as this debate gets going. Who's got the advantage here?
It's hard to say. It's hard to think that any one interest group or constituency could drive the discussion and the legislative process to its preferred conclusion. But they, you know, each of them has the ability to kind of stop it if it really mobilizes a campaign.
And that's the fear. Of course, constituencies may be able to express their power in a sort of veto capacity as opposed to pushing policy forward and developing a consensus. What that calls for, Robert Pair, is leadership on the part of Obama. Maybe he's the wild card here. It's a fascinating story. And even with the wisps of possible positiveness in your story, it's a great read. Robert Pair, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Robert Pair, New York Times reporter from the Washington Bureau of our partner, The Times. His story is in the paper today. It's all about people who are shaping our health care policy and the consensus that may be developing related to universal health care. What do you think? Is health care a right or a privilege? It's the question we're asking. So tell us your story of struggling with health care and without. We've gotten lots of responses from you in the past on this. It's probably important to hear some of those voices as the Obama administration begins to focus on healthcare. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Still talking about the federal stimulus package, and we want you to know where you think it should go.
How about as an economic stimulus, increasing the number of physicians educated every year? Now, I understand there are plenty of smart people that want to get into medical school and can't. Figure out where the bottleneck is there, use it as an economic stimulus, and a real way of reducing health care costs.
So you can go to our website and be a part of our Shovel Watch project. It's a collaboration with ProPublica. And join Andrea Bernstein in watching the shovels as they are raised on the stimulus package. You can critique and investigate how this money is being spent. Your takeaway will be coming from the red carpet.
If you think this voice sounds bad now, wait until a night on the carpet.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. That's David Carr, the Copperbagger blogger for our partner, the New York Times. He'll be at the Oscars this Sunday asking the questions you suggested on our website. You can still vote on your favorites at our site, thetakeaway.org. Then tune in on Monday. Pray for David Carr's voice. Carr's going to join us with their answers, the celebrity answers anyway. If you missed anything in the show, sign up for our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes. And you may want to hear that Robert Pair interview again if you're worried about healthcare. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.